House Geeks Real Estate Show is sponsored by Bricks Real Estate. I'm Kirk Duckwall. Joining me is Chad Vandelot. We are the House Geeks. If you have any questions for us, give us a call at 612-207-5388. Again, 612-207-5388. Always happy to help answer any of your real estate questions or assist with your real estate needs. Check us out online as well at housegeeks.com for the latest and greatest home searching and researching tools. And follow us on our Facebook page. Just type in House Geeks and look for the little house and glasses. You can watch us record around noon most Tuesdays. So today we're going to be discussing real estate myths. So this is a show we have done a couple times in the past over the years. Going to try to address ones we haven't talked about in the past, except for one, which I want to just start off with out of the gate, which is all foreclosures are good deals.
Wrong.
Okay, now we can move on. No. So TV has done a great job of portraying foreclosure properties and obviously the economic downturn and what happened with prices there made these foreclosure properties look even that much more of a good deal.
Absolutely. I think everybody has heard a story of somebody getting a great deal on a foreclosure back in 2010 or 11 and selling it recently for a huge gain.
Right. And you got to keep in mind, typically the foreclosure situation there during that short period of time, of a few years, was a foreclosure where, you had a homeowner, they were there, whether it was job loss or whatever might have happened, that there was quite a few properties that, got vacated, put on the market due to the kind of collapse in home prices. The prices fell through the floor and somebody could scoop up a home in relatively decent shape, move-in ready condition.
It was hard to get money back, get a loan back in those days too.
Yeah. So when you look at a foreclosure today, you're dealing with homes that have been typically vacated for quite a long time. And it's not this house that's easily typically move-in ready. Most of what I'm looking at right now is $40,000 to $60,000 that need to go into these homes just to get them habitable. A lot of them
are priced only $30,000 under market value
right.
To start at least.
Exactly. They're not pricing them appropriately for the work that needs to go into them.
And that's in large part due to the low supply of the foreclosures and the high demand for homes.
So, my recommendation is, I'm not saying don't look at foreclosures, but don't think automatically that these are going to be a great deal. My brother put it great. He said these foreclosure properties are like they have a spotlight put on them by the TV networks, and now everybody looks at those, but maybe actually bypassing the real deals, a relocation or somebody's moved on to assisted living, situations like that, where it's not, having huge mechanical problems or mold problems or things like that, where it's just it needs cosmetic updating.
The last number of properties that I had got good deals for my clients on were the ones that were highly overpriced, sat on the market for 60, 90 days. We went back and looked at the inventory that has been sitting on the market for a while and found out they may have just had bad pictures and started at the price too high and they shot themselves in the foot.
Yeah, exactly. So I've seen those that are not being marketed well, just like you're saying, as the ones where really the best deals are. Weekends bring out the most serious buyers. I think we've seen a shift in home searching. At least I feel that we are seeing more and more weekday buyers and weekends. They're, as the millennial generation is coming around, they're off doing what they want to do, not shopping for homes as much. So I think the weekday showings, that's the person who's like, I'm going to take away my evening or I'm going to take off work during noon hour or go before I go to work, is actually probably a more serious buyer.
I would agree with that as well. I also think serious buyers happen over the holidays as well.
Oh, I've sold so many homes during that period of time, you know, in between like Christmas and New Year's. Or like,
Memorial Day or 4th of July.
Yep. Yeah. Anybody who is coming out during those times, I had somebody ask, like, oh, should I do an open house over Memorial weekend? And I said, well, you're probably not going to get as much traffic, but the traffic you do get is going to be highly serious. However, there's so many agents that don't do opens that you're condensing and kind of forcing the open crowd to go to your place, potentially. It's really hard to say. It's a coin toss from what I've seen.
When I first started in real estate, one of my best times was sticking around during the holidays while the other agents went on vacation, and then I took their leads, and it seemed like the leads that came in.
I'm pretty sure you've gotten me on 4th of July a few times and picked up people. I like this one a lot. Zillow says, therefore it is. It is the word. A great example is the CEO of Zillow selling his home for something like 40% less than what the Zestimate said that his home is worth. I mean,
the Zestimate said $1.7 million, and he ended up selling it for $1.2
million.
I have a client who called me up yesterday. He's been watching the Zestimate on his home. And within a week, the price fell $20,000.
Oh, my gosh. How could that happen? Devastated.
He was shocked because he's actually thinking about moving again. And there is no way that his home fell that much in that short of a period of time in this market, much less, really, any home.
Well, I mean, what happened?
Train tracks through the backyard or...
So why does this happen, right? So you have Zillow following county records on sales and transfers, and you can have an oddity, a transfer or a sale to a relative for a significantly lower amount that shows up in Zillow, not for the home that you're looking at selling, but a neighbor's house, right? And so then it looks at that and goes, oh, there's a comp there, and then adjusts the price.
Exactly. For instance, somebody gets divorced. Maybe they have $4,000 of equity in the home. Yeah. They decide to do a quit claim deed, and one person gets $2,000 of the equity, the other person gets $2,000 of the equity, and it might show up as a sale of a home for $2,000.
Yeah. I mean, so when looking at Zillow, it's a data point, right? You know, it's kind of like the same thing looking at county records and looking at the tax value. You know, just had that question today. Oh, the tax value says this home is worth X. So is that what it's worth? It's like, that's what it's worth to the county to get the dollars they want out of the taxes.
And they haven't been out to the home probably since it was built, or maybe the inspector came out for a remodel to give permits, but they don't come out and visually inspect that.
Right. I mean, you can have three homes, for an example. I mean, why not just go with it, right? So Zillow says, therefore it is. Well, we could say the county says, therefore it is. I mean, the faults there lie. You could have three homes on a block that are identical to each other, but one is got a disabled veteran who has lived in it, right? And so they have the lower tax rate that may be being applied, or zero tax rate. Then you have the home next door to that, which had the remodel done, but the assessor hadn't been back out there. And then the third one, which had a remodel done, and it was just sold, right? Mm-hmm. And so you can have three homes identical to each other and very different tax values. So
the point being is, you hit it right on the head. It's a data point. When I show up at a client's home and they want to know the price, I'll print out the Zestimate. I know they've looked at it, so why not talk about it? I'll also pull the tax records. I'll also do a comparative market analysis of my own, and I'll run some other automated valuation modules.
Yeah, pull the RPR, pull the AVM, and everyone's a data point, right?
And when you start to see consistency, that's when the data starts to be more valid. You throw out the outliers. Zillow may be consistent. It may be an outlier.
Do you know what the best data is? When the home gets on the market, and how do the buyers react?
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
I get people all the time asking, you know, oh, what's the feedback? And it's like, no one feedback is worth a whole lot. Actually, let's get into that when we come back from the commercial break. Talk about the, you know, his feedback and how important is that. If you have any questions for us, give us a call at 612-207-5388. Again, 612-207-5388. Always happy to help answer any of your real estate questions. We'll be right back.
Network Title knows it's the little things that make big things happen, like protecting home buyers from title defects. As an independently owned and operated full-service title company, we specialize in all the important details. We come to where you want to close, even nights or weekends. We'll even bring fresh baked cookies. Network Title, stress-free closings since 1993. Work with a company that puts you first. For details, go to network-title.com or give us a call at 651-482-9514.
Hi, this is Matt from the Green Home Doctors. Do your ceilings show signs of unwanted moisture? Is your home warmer than you want? This means your insulation needs a tune-up and you're leaking expensive air conditioning in the summer. Green Home Doctors analyze your home with specialized equipment and prescribe a remedy that will save you money and save you energy, no matter what the season. Take advantage of rebates from Xcel Energy and CenterPoint Energy and make your home healthier today. Visit greenhomedr.com.
Real estate is one of the biggest financial transactions most people ever make. So keep informed. Tune in each week as Bricks Real Estate presents the Twin Cities Real Estate Show, Sundays starting at noon. Kirk Duckwall, Chad Vandelot, and Brian Durham, the House Geeks, will keep you up to date with industry-leading guests, stats, and local market trends. Again, you can catch them Sundays starting at noon on this station or online anytime through the House Geeks Facebook page.
As with their Eat Street sister on Nicollet Avenue, the Bad Waitress at 700 Central and Northeast is committed to working with local purveyors and serving organic food whenever possible. But the Northeast location is a bit more grown up. This finer diner has a full bar serving craft cocktails and a brand new inventive dinner menu, including the chicken and waffle, with roasted half chicken, bourbon pickled jalapeno corn waffle, and a roasted poblano gravy. Check out the Northeast menu at thebadwaitress.com.
Get your vehicle's summertime service done at Rudy Luther Toyota. The last thing you need is a breakdown while on a road trip or heading to the lake. Regardless of where you've purchased your vehicle, Rudy Luther Toyota is your number one destination for auto service and repair. Routine maintenance or a larger repair, easily schedule your appointment on their website, RudyLutherToyota.com. I trust them. They're fast, courteous, and they do the job right. Get your vehicle summer ready at Rudy Luther Toyota, 5 miles west of downtown Minneapolis on 394.
Attention real estate agents and homeowners. Did you know that even in a strong market, you can increase your sale price and shorten your time on the market? Check out Summit Staging today and see how many of their staged listings sell for thousands of dollars more than the other comparable homes in the area. With a pay only if it sells pricing, you have nothing to lose. Visit them online at summitstagingllc.com. That's summitstagingllc.com.
Welcome back to the House Geeks Real Estate Show on AM 950. If you have any questions for us after the show, give us a call at 612-207-5388. Again, 612-207-5388. Always happy to help answer any of your real estate questions or assist with your real estate needs. Also, follow us online at housegeeks.com or check out our Facebook page. Just type in House Geeks, look for the little house and glasses. Today, we're talking about real estate myths. It's a topic we've done a few times in the past, but was trying to touch on some stuff that we haven't addressed in previous shows. Kind of was left off with talking about Zillow and the data point, right? And started discussing feedback. And, you know, is feedback from buyers important? The best, yes.
If you start seeing the same thing
over and over. Right. And is it fixable? How can you address it, right? Can you fix it within the marketing, or can it be physically fixed?
Great point.
One of my favorite pieces of feedback or examples that I give on how important is it really is like, so I'll put a 800-square-foot, two-bedroom home on the market, and then the feedback will come in, buyers thought house was small.
Or it's 800 square feet.
Right. Or you know, it's on a busy road and comes back, feedback comes back and didn't like the busy road or the road noise, right? And it shows you the level that so many agents put into actually teaching their buyers how to look for homes. And this is why you get ridiculous feedback, is because they are just, you know, the shotgun approach that we've talked about in our classes so many times.
Now, on the other hand, if it comes back and 7 out of 10 say the home is overpriced, well, then you're
probably overpriced.
Might be overpriced.
Right.
Or if you start...
I would honestly say 3 out of 10. If I got 3 that say it's overpriced... And,
with no offer.
Yeah.
On the table.
Yeah.
And then, or maybe pet smells.
Yeah.
Maybe you start hearing that over and over.
Yeah, smelled like dogs and, yeah, things that you can correct. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, feedback. Do we want it? Yes. Do we want a fair amount of it? Yes. Does any one matter? No. Mm-hmm. You know, how many times have we seen, interested, thinking about putting in an offer, going to write an offer? And how often does that actually happen? You know,
I'd say 50% of the time.
Ooh, you have better rate than I do. I would say 20% of the time when a person says, we're going to be putting an offer in, do I actually see something on them?
The other thing to remember, too, while we're on feedback is most agents don't spend a whole lot of time with the feedback. I think some of them feel obligated, so they just put 4 or 5 for everything. So, again, don't look at any individual one. Look for patterns.
Yeah, exactly. That's the big key with it. I like this one, you know, because this has been a more of a conversation within the last year. Multiple offers gives the seller an advantage.
Hmm.
Maybe.
And maybe not.
And maybe not. Right.
Starting to see more and more people maybe retract an offer when they figure out that the home has gone into multiple offers. It may give the seller an advantage. It may give the buyer an advantage that absolutely needs to be evaluated on individual experiences.
Right. You know, it. You can have multiple offers, but still have it not go over asking price.
That's pretty rare, but it does happen.
It does happen, yeah. So, you know, then that kind of puts you at a little bit of a disadvantage, because if you know you have somebody who's asking under asking price and now you're trying to get them to go up, you have to counter them, and then they know that they're the highest offer under asking price. Otherwise, why would you be countering them, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not always a benefit.
Another place where it may put the buyer in an advantage is if there's a situation where the seller absolutely needs to close by a certain date. Therefore, financing becomes a stronger negotiation point. Say it's an older house, has some peeling paint, and you're a buyer who's doing a 20% down conventional loan. And the seller already has a house picked out. They know what they want to move to this house, and they already have a close date, and they want to make sure that everything falls into place because they value convenience and a timeline. You may, if you're doing 20% down conventional, be a little lower than some of the other offers that might all be FHA, and it actually may be a benefit to you in that situation.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I ran into a situation very similar where I was dealing with rehab financing against a cash offer, and I'm pretty sure they went with the cash, even though we may have been a hair higher. Mm-hmm. Just because even though it was rehab financing, just clearing the appraisal piece of that, or, you know, value. Mm-hmm. Yeah, multiple offers. It really just kind of depends on how it happens. And so it's not always a plus. And I think we see far too many agents jump to, you know, price it low to put it into multiples. And that can be dangerous. I mean, because you can have more likelihood to have appraisal problems because you went so low and it went up so much.
Mm-hmm.
That now the appraiser will come back and look and say, well, you thought it was worth this, and these people are offering here, you know.
And in those situations, there's other things buyers can do to shift it in their favor and maybe not be the higher offer is, you know, agreeing to a pre-negotiated difference in the appraisal.
Right.
For instance, you're a buyer, slightly lower than another buyer who wants closing costs wrapped into it. Their price is artificially inflated. The listing agent's already nervous about the home appraising. If you put in your offer that you will cover half of the difference of any discrepancy in the appraisal relative to the list price, that can gain you another advantage without having to come up in price.
Right. Sellers should expect to earn back everything they've invested in remodeling projects at the time of resale. Absolutely not.
Oh, really? Because every client that I've talked to really thinks that. I thought it had to be true with all those data points.
I actually just saw something really interesting the other day. It was from an inspection company, and it was a breakdown of every permit pulled on a property that came with the inspection report and the evaluation the person put down that permit was for. So, bathroom remodel, $11,000. And we kind of had this discussion about, is this valuable information? And I ultimately said, no, it's absolutely not. I think it muddies the water and will confuse both buyers and sellers. All that really matters is the current condition of the home today at the time of sale and the value of whatever may be done or the property,
and how it compares to the comps in the area.
Exactly, right. It doesn't matter if I paid $30,000 for a kitchen and $11,000 for a roof and this and that, and you break it down over 25 years because, it really comes down to this exact moment in time.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why we talk quite often about, reach out to us right away. But if you're thinking about selling, don't just start putting money into your home because you may put money in that you don't need to and won't get back.
Exactly.
There's definitely things that can help a lot, and you can get huge percentage returns on when it's time to sell. And there's other things where you're just going to lose money on it. Couple minutes left. We'll finish with this one. All agents are the same. Hopefully you don't feel that way if you've been listening to the show for a while. But, I definitely run into that, right? Like, it doesn't matter who I list with. It's just going to sell for whatever it sells for. And, we've definitely, especially recently, been doing the research that really shows that not to be the case. I mean, we've brought it up in the past. I've been putting more time into this research that depending on who you choose or the company that you choose, you can see upwards of 14, 15, 16 plus percent differences. It blew my mind that a well-known agent out there is selling homes 6% under the market average, underpricing them. So no, not every agent's the same. Take the time to do the research. Ask the right questions. Hey, what is the percentage above or below the market average adjusted that you're selling homes for? And it's not just on the list side of things. Feel out what is the value that an agent is providing when you're out shopping for the home. Are they not just the person who opens the door and goes, oh, this is a nice big living room. Your kids will love it. All right, so that's our show for this week. If you have any questions, give us a call, 612-207-5388. Again, 612-207-5388. Check us out online at housegeeks.com. We'll be back. I'm going to take a week off. So in a couple weeks.